Joining us now in our studios, every Wednesday we have Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Martig, or somebody else, join us.
Somebody. But you never know, Jeff. There might be just some weird character that like walks into the studio somewhere.
Yeah,
so never know.
That happens. And my first question for them is, did Pownell send you?
Right.
No. We're glad you came in. Thank you so much. You had a city council meeting last night. And I guess my point is you come in every time after the council meeting. Graciously donating your time to our cause here.
You're here every morning too, Jeff. So
the worst segue I've ever had. It's the most convoluted segue. You had a council meeting last night, the first one of November, the last one before Election Day. I guess you won't have a council meeting. We'll have more on that later on. But some of the things you talked about, let's start off with Bridge Square. Not a whole lot of discussion on that last night, but you did approve a service agreement for the designers of Bridge Square. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So as Dave Bennett, our city engineer, really kicked it off last night, really talking about how long this has really been in process. I think he said, mentioned the year 2014 and maybe even, I think maybe 2012, there was another even rendition before that where we've been talking for a long time. Are there ways that we can update Bridge Square, the central park right in the heart of our downtown, to make it serve the community even better than what it does? And lots of visioning process, a lot of public input over the years with regards to this in the previous planning process and then in the most recent one. So this is really that next step in the process. The council adopted that plan, the Bridge Square final design plan. And then this is that professional service agreement for developing the construction documents for that plan. And then that will be done in 2023. And then 2024 is the construction. So just methodically, it might not seem methodically to some folks, but for some of us that have been in the trenches for like a long time, this is a long time that you have to wait to see some of these things come to fruition. And the benefit of putting plans in place is that you actually act on them. Otherwise, why are you asking people for their opinion and getting their perspectives? It's really a lot of wasted time unless you're really going to do what you said you're going to do. So
let's talk about, maybe Ben can answer this one. Let's talk about the schedule. You've approved the contract for the person who is going to be designing that. Will there be, I guess, different milestones within that the time period between now and 2024, as the mayor mentioned, when you're going to be doing the work, where there'll be, I don't know, information given to the public, more input from the public, or what do we have a schedule yet?
We don't have a specific schedule, but that will continue to be what you'll see on this project. So we'll continue to work with Bob and Bruce on some of our community engagement work. So we'll continue to do follow-up with a number of different stakeholders. There's a lot of them on Bridge Square, of course, including the broader community that uses it on a regular basis. But we'll continue to meet individually with some groups, with our consultants. We'll also be doing additional kind of discussion with the council to be determined, but certainly at design, development, and construction, kind of the final construction document phases, we'll certainly be having council action on that as well. A couple of the other things that's kind of unique on this project with its location is there is some archaeological work that's being done as part of the historical designation of the park. And so that's part of the analysis to see if we find anything in, you know, the history, other additional things to think in the history or in the ground, if some of the issues or anything's found in there. Probably not anticipating a lot of it based on the past use. And then we have a sub-consultant of a electrical design expert along with the landscape architects that would be doing work and just being sensitive to how do we get kind of one shot at it. How do you do planning around lighting so that it feels safe in the evening but also has some ambiance to it with to really kind of do an upgrade. So those are some unique things, but there'll definitely be significant discussion and engagement. We'll continue to update our project page on that as well, so people can track what's going on.
All right. Well, we'll keep you informed, and I'm sure you'll keep us informed as
yes.
well. Let's move on. Another item on the agenda. Last night was the discussion on the about boards and commission governance effectiveness review. What in the wide world of sports does that mean?
That's our continued work as it relates okay. to some of our strategic plan areas is just doing a good job of implementing best practices around governance. It's been almost a year ago, I think, on some of our updates to the council. We did a bunch of research on other cities on kind of how their boards work and how we might evaluate some implementing some ideas here in Northfield. One of the challenges or problems that we're trying to solve is that the council's aware of is part of, you know, making it a good experience to serve on a board and really be effective in giving advice to the council on it and really kind of digging in on policy issues and giving recommendations is you guys kind of have a good structure on having it work well. One of the challenges we have is we have a lot of different types of processes and practices across our boards and commissions, and it makes it difficult to kind of remember how we do things in one board and another with staff changing and board turnover and, mayors and councils and city administrators coming and going. So trying to kind of come up with some core kind of structures is one of the first things to do is like, so kind of like at council meetings, if you have a public comment section to have consistency across our boards, do we also have public comments or not? We have some boards that don't have any, we have some that have many. That's just one little example to try and create some similar expectations for board members coming in to make it easier to do training, to make it more uniform on what to expect on doing our work. And then hopefully that'll translate to, you know, if it's pretty clear on kind of the general operations, then you can focus on the policy and the important work that we do. So staff basically gave an update to the council, kind of reminding them on some of the types of documents and things that we're looking at changing, really to kind of come back and do a deep dive at our January work session. So it was primarily an update to the council on some of those things. So there'll be a few ordinance change recommendations, likely some policies to update, and then leading into things like, you know, new training and orientation that we would have for next year with that. It will include getting some direction from council on, you know, where to go with some different ways that we might choose to do things. And that would be we're kind of digging into that in January.
All right. Let's move on. I want to talk about one other thing that was on the agenda last night, and that was actually a presentation by the Defeat of Jesse James Days Committee. Lisa Peterson and Becca Peterson gave the report, and Rich and I were talking about those two earlier. They do a lot of work here in town, and hats off to them. Very much civic-minded and also hard workers. But let's talk about the Defeat of Jesse James Days. It's kind of a win-win-win situation for everybody involved, from the committee down to the nonprofits, the people of Northfield, the businesses. It's a big thing.
It is a really big thing, and just so appreciative. We've not always had the representatives from the committee come in to give a presentation to the council. I think this may be the second year maybe that we've had this, but just really that connection back to the elected body so that they know and understand this is the third largest festival in our state, and it's all volunteer run in conjunction with city staff, EMS, firefighters, our police, right? They're not volunteer, but very, very important component to ensuring that this really important festival for our community goes off without a hitch, right? Mm-hmm. You don't always need a hitch for a horse, right? Sorry. It's just a really great festival. And as I said last night, it's almost like the committee is a community within a community, 130 plus people that are really working on this year round. It's a multi-generational effort. Some people have been serving on the committee for like 50 plus years. And not only all of those people, but then they have 500 plus volunteers throughout the weekend, ensuring that when 200,000 people show up in your community, that it's a good experience. And that's no small feat. by any stretch of the imagination. So it was just really great to be able to highlight them and all that they do to give back to the community. A lot of our nonprofits really benefit financially from this event, and it's just really great the way they connect back into the community to help support everything that goes on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is for so many organizations, nonprofits. It's the biggest fundraiser of the year. They raise a lot of money. There's a lot coming into town, and that is well dispersed among yes. the charities here in town. Anything
gonna,
to add to that, Ben?
I was going to note on that. I had seen on the presentation, too, I think they said $150,000 to $200,000 a year is raised on with the nonprofits, and then the Defeat Days Committee, in addition to that, provides an additional $40,000 that they give to that, and then there's some the committee's also donated more than $50,000 as part of the Give Cancer the Boot campaign. So like you said, there's many organizations that benefit from this with our nonprofit community, too, that we don't think of.
Mm-hmm. Next week next Tuesday is Election Day, so you won't have a meeting. The next meeting will be 2 weeks from Tuesday. Will that be a regular meeting or a work session? Do we know yet?
Yeah, so the meeting after, we're treating that one more as our regular meeting, and then the week after that, the last one of the month, will be treated more as a work session. So when we were kind of doing our planning, the agenda items fell in that kind of order. We are debating which way to go with it, so that's kind of the plan of action for our council meetings.
And of course, between now and the end of the year, you have to approve the budget. What will be the steps taken in the next couple of meetings to get that done?
Yeah, so the work session will be kind of the last touch point with the council before we go into the December meeting for the public presentation in action on the final budget. So kind of hard to believe, but three meetings left for the rest of this year that we have scheduled.
All right. Wow. Okay. Got some stuff to get done. Hopefully most of the background work's already been done. Next week is Election Day. And along with council, there's school board, elected officials on the state and county levels as well, and a school levy that is going to be on the ballot. So very important for people to get out there and vote. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on the election or how the city might be involved?
Yeah, for details, I would say go to our webpage. But in general, I am seeing an uptick in foot traffic as it relates to early voting option. That is an option. You can come into City Hall and do the voting, and they'll help you out. If you're not registered, they'll help you with how that process works, or you can call in for that. Or certainly, we know on Election Day itself, we have an excellent volunteer system. We have paid election judges to help, and I think the experience at our different locations are a really good experience, mm-hmm. too, if you want to vote in person. Mm-hmm. That's always a good one, and I think pretty efficient voting opportunities, even at our busier precincts.
Mm-hmm. And we did have Lynette Peterson in yesterday to talk about the election, the rules and regulations and where people can register and early balloting. So wealth of information. She's done a great job with that. And that is available online. You can podcast that and listen to it. It's only about 8 minutes long or so, but it is packed with information.
Yes. And could I just say thank you for hosting all the background information that you have done on your website? KYMN, right, is free and accessible to anybody who wants to look at it if they want to find out information about the different candidates. So thanks so much for hosting that for folks.
Well, thank you very much. I will accept that compliment for Logan Wells, yes. who has assembled all that, and also Rich Larson, who's helped put that all together. One more thing while we have about city business is we have an intern this year named Kate Kelly. Kate has done a lot of work on the Viking Terrace issues, the issues that have arisen out of the sale of that. She's talked to dozens of people throughout the community, throughout the upper Midwest, involved with the industry, elected officials and such. That podcast begins tonight, 6 o'clock tonight, so you'll have a lot more information on the one portion of the city coming up at 6 o'clock tonight.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you both for coming in. Much appreciated. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff.
Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Barnigan.